It's your Daily Dose with Bob and Nick. Thanks for tuning us in. Today we talk about the end of my dad's life and the somewhat cryptic message he wanted passed along to all of his grandchildren. Dad's death has unleashed a torrent of memories, emotions, and new responsibilities. It's a lot to consider. And today, once again, my thinking buddy helps me to put it all in perspective. Nick is good like that. Check it out. Okay, weirdly, some of my dad's final words to my brother and to my sister were that he wants his legacy for his grandchildren to be, I was a confluence. I want them all to know that I was a confluence. Now, for those who don't know, a confluence is a coming or flowing together, a meeting or a gathering at one point, like two rivers that are flowing together. And it was so cryptic and so lacking in genuine substance that I wasn't sure that he chose the right word, which is weird because my dad was a wordsmith. I mean, he could write a great speech. He was very articulate. He was into crosswords. Yeah. And was good at them. But he chose confluence as the word. So now I've had this word running through my head ever since I've learned that, trying to kind of make meaning out of it. And to some extent, I understand because obviously he was a confluence of his parents, and he had three. My dad was born to Ronald Rose and Mary Ferranti, and then Ronald Rose died when he was 8, and then Mary fell in love with John Codges, who adopted my dad at age 13, I believe, and so he had a confluence of all those influences coming into his life, and then I don't know what you call it when it diverges. When it's the river spreading out into tributaries and stuff. But I think a greater part of his life was that he went from literally three people contributed to his upbringing, one person, no brothers, no sisters, to having 6 kids who had 15 kids of their own and 4 great grandkids of his. And, you know, it's like, really, it's like he's the trunk of the tree and we're the branches reaching out. But
well, he probably meant it too. There's other, besides family, there's probably a number of other levels that he means it at in terms of business and things like that, that he was a facilitator in a way people to connect and then to go out on their own.
I think that's probably true. That's probably true.
You think it was family specific? Because he said grandkids.
Well, and I think what he was trying to explain was why he wasn't there for them. He was saying that I was that absent person, but I wasn't that absent person. I think he was more saying that he was a contradiction more than he was a confluence. But again, contradiction sounds a little bit more negative. Confluence sounds a little more zen.
Do you think there was, or did he ever display or communicate any regret in not being more active?
During the last month of his life, he asked a lot of questions about why his grandkids aren't present, why they aren't coming to visit him, why they don't call him more. And he got some very clear answers from his kids that it was because that was the habit that was built when they were young, that they never really had that in their lives. And so I think he was trying to explain that. That's my sense. But I don't think he did it really well. You know. And I look at that and I say, you know, he made a lot of choices in his life. And a lot of those choices were to improve his life and to take care of himself in that process. And I understand that. He was an only child. He was trained that way. His mother raised him to be a taker and to be a person that looks to others to support his needs. And he got really good at that throughout his life. But the giving side, that which attracts grandchildren to grandparents and that which, you know, keeps people coming back, that wasn't too present for him. And I'm not disparaging him. I'm just saying it just wasn't what he was built for. Mm-hmm. And when he was there, and he was there at times, let me tell you, when my kids were going off to college and I'm walking down a beach weeping because I don't know what to do with myself and I call my dad and he offers me just the right amount of support, emotion, love, and words so that I'm smiling when I finish that conversation, it's like this good stuff that was brought there. And I'm getting a confluence of all of those rivers in my own brain and my own heart, right? So it's been good for me to look at this. And I'm trying to write his obituary now, which is, guess what? Puts the bitch in obituary, let me tell you, because it's not easy to summarize someone who's had a complicated life and someone who it would be important to them how they're presented in those words. So
you don't think he would appreciate it if you left it to ChatGPT?
I hadn't even thought of that. But what? I have now. That's horrible. No, but we have talked about things like Patty had this lovely idea that he's going to be cremated. That wasn't the idea, but that he loved his Cadillac. Like, he loved his Cadillac like a seventh kid. I'm not even kidding. He was in love with this. I think it's a Cadillac Fleetwood, like a 1996, and it's a boat. But she's suggesting that when we go to bring his ashes to their final resting place, that we take it in that car to give him one last ride in that car, which is,
brilliant.
Again, this is the woman I married who... She thinks of things like that while she's making me a list of 50 things that I have to pay attention to while I'm the executor of the estate. And all spot on accurate. Yeah, you got to pay attention to these things. It's like she's that. She's the velvet sledgehammer. She's loving and soft, but wham, she hits with good force because she knows what needs to be done. And she's been very patient with me, very patient with me being a little weepy and just being a little bit off. And I just don't want to try her patience too much longer because, you know, she's been a great support system. That can only last so long. I recognize that. I know, baby. I know.
Hey, it's Nick. Thanks for listening. Trying to find that one word that sums you up, that's difficult. There are so many words that I like. I'm not even sure if they describe me. I just like them. Latitudinarian. Irascible. Effervescent. I think it would have to be four words for me. Mildly obnoxious, occasionally hilarious, and super handsome, and really good at listening. Is there a word that's just a good listener that describes a good listener? Patient? I'm not patient, though. Mildly obnoxious, occasionally hilarious. Let's just stick with that. And tall. I'm also tall.